This free program is paid for by the listener members of KPFT Houston. If you're not already a member, think about joining with us to help keep free speech alive.
Down this scroll down. Pledge online. Do it. If you're at work right now and you don't want the boss to know that you're calling us, just go to the pledge line and do it on the screen. 713-526-5738 or 713-526-KPFT. Give us a call. Do what you can. We're $1,350. We're so close to the goal for this program. Give us that call now. 713-526-5738 or 526-KPFT. Do what you can. 713-526-KPFT 526-5738. I want to thank Angela for calling in, a brand new first time member calling from out on the west side. She's doing it. She wants that Zen combo, the book and both DVDs. They're coming to you, and we thank you for making that conscious choice the very first time. And she did it, and she did it on a credit card, instantizing her membership, becoming a brand new first time member right here, right now, live and in color. Thank you so much. 713-526-5738. 713-526-KPFT. Lori's making a pledge in behalf of Chelsea and says, happy birthday, Chelsea. 713-526. We encourage Chelsea, another brand new member. 713-526-5738. 526-KPFT. I want to thank each and every one of you who've called in. This has been an amazing outpouring. A great, great calling. Thank you so much. We are at $1,500. You can still call in and support Democracy Now. You can call in and support KPFT anytime. Do it right now. 713-526-5738. 526-KPFT. I want to thank all the folks out here at Pledge Central. I want to thank all of you going to the phone right now. I want to thank each and every one of you, first-time members especially, but everyone renewing a membership. Maybe it's the 35th year in a row that you've done it, and you've kept this radio station alive for everyone to have a benefit from it. And we appreciate, we honor, and we thank you for that. Robert, thank you for doing that. Mr. Anonymous right here in town, thank you for doing that. Lori, we thank you for doing that. Lee, thank you so very much once and again. We appreciate all of you. It's 7 o'clock. It's past 7 o'clock. It's time for Queer Voices. Thank you so much.
At 90.1 FM, this is KPFT in Houston. And now, Houston's only primetime radio program dedicated to news and concerns of the lesbian, gay, and transgender identity. This is Queer Voices.
Good evening, and it's a marathon week, of course, here on KPFT, and we're asking you to help us raise money for Queer Voices. This is Jack Polinsky.
I'm Deborah Bell.
I'm Greg Chapman.
This is Jennifer Renee.
And we're all here asking you to help us support our ability to be able to do this radio show. We'll skip the BBC News tonight because we're running a little bit late, but we're going to catch up because we have a lot of good things going on this evening. Jennifer's going to do a piece on Transgender Day. Ron Hill is the volunteer coordinator for Care for Elders. We're also going to talk about where do we go now after the election. And then we have some other things to talk about, of course, to keep you up to date on what's going on. But first, we're asking you to help us raise money, help us do our share of what is our due to be able to do this radio program.
It's so important that you do your part, and your part is to be a loyal listener to this station and to support it
when we ask you to, or even when we don't ask you to. We say, you know, you can always give a donation to KPFT, but particularly during pledge drive, because that's how we pay the rent. That's how we pay the electric bill. That's how we pay for equipment. There's no huge salaries here. Almost everyone here, I think 99% of the people here are all volunteers. And that includes the people on the air and people behind the scenes. And we work on a very tight budget, and we're not the product placement people. We're not, you know, inserting some product to sell you or doing commercials. We just have to take this time every so often throughout the year and say, please be part of your community radio station by making your pledge and paying your pledge. You can call now. We have a crew of lovely volunteers out there with Smiley tonight at 713-526-5738. That's 713-526-KPFT. Please pledge now.
Actually, we have a special matching pledge. Smiley, why don't you tell us all about it?
This is for anybody that does pledge tonight here in Queer Voices from 7 to 9. Dr. K will match your pledge any amount up to $5,000, dollar for dollar. That's why we're looking for new members right now to come in for that $35 pledge. But if you are a longtime supporter of Queer Voices, here is your time to rock your pledge right now. Dr. K will match your pledge dollar for dollar. Just call that number that Deborah and Jack have all been hollering out there, 713-526-5738. I'll be out there answering your phones. Let's see if we can't just bump this up to the full amount of $5,000 before the program.
That would be fabulous. A matching gift. So dollar for dollar, any amount that you pledge tonight will be matched. So that will double it. So we'd certainly appreciate it. And to get right into the program right now, we're going to bring you a news wrap from This Way Out.
I'm John Beaupre.
And I'm Greg Gordon.
With News Wrap, a summary of some of the news in or affecting the lesbian and gay community for the weekend in November 12, 2005. Signs reading, "No gays" will follow those saying, "No blacks and no Irish" into Britain's dustbin of history. If the government's newly amended equality bill passes through Parliament, the bill approved this week in the House of Lords would outlaw sexual orientation-based discrimination in providing goods and services or organizing public functions. Originally, those protections were only to be offered to religious minorities, but over 100 members of Parliament signed a motion to press a reluctant Blair government to add gays and lesbians to the covered groups. Gay peers Lord Waheed Ali and Lord Chris Smith and the lobby group Stonewall led the charge, warning that the whole equality bill might fail if the Prime Minister did not accept the amendment. The new law would include a broad range of services, from National Health Service care and insurance to hotels, restaurants, and stores. Stonewall activists are cautiously optimistic about the bill's chances when it goes to the House of Commons in a couple of weeks.
The ballot question in the U.S. state of Maine read, "Do you want to reject the new law that would protect people from discrimination in employment, housing, education, public accommodations, and credit based on their sexual orientation?" Voters there answered with a resounding no on Election Day, November 8th, defeating the third effort by religious conservative groups to prevent a state non-discrimination law from going into effect. Pro-bias groups were successful in repealing similar laws in 1998 and 2000. In March, the state legislature passed and the governor signed another bill protecting gays and lesbians from discrimination. The Christian Civic League of Maine and the Maine Grassroots Coalition led the repeal effort this year, but the third time was the right's charm as voters, by a margin of about 55% to 45%, reaffirmed the basic values that are intrinsic in Maine, said Governor John Baldacci, who strongly opposed the repeal effort. "Mainers don't like discrimination. If it happens to one person, it happens to all of us," he said. This year's law also protects transgendered people from discrimination. The new law's opponents charged that it was the first step toward marriage rights for same-gender couples, but the legislation was specifically worded to say that it did not address that issue. The repeal backers' written materials claimed the non-discrimination law meant that a pedophile cannot be barred from a job as a public school teacher. Broadcast ads urged voters to repeal the law to keep it from forever changing the innocence of our children and to protect your right to protect your children. Executive Director Matt Foreman of the National Gay and Lesbian Task Force called the campaign tactics disgusting, reprehensible, and immoral. Maine becomes the 17th U.S. state to ban discrimination on the basis of sexual orientation and the 7th to protect transgenders.
However, not unexpectedly, Texas voters, by a margin of about 3-1, overwhelmingly approved a state constitutional amendment banning any legal recognition of same-gender couples, defining marriage exclusively as a union of one man and one woman. Lauding the efforts of 30,000 activists across the Lone Star State who fought against the measure, Human Rights Campaign President Joe Solomony said, "This fight for fairness isn't over and we won't give up." Texas becomes the 19th state to add an anti-queer marriage amendment to its constitution. Equality opponents are gearing up to place initiatives on several other state midterm slates a year from now.
While no queer-related issues were on the California state ballot, petitions to put a marriage equality ban before voters there are also being circulated, however. Four propositions supported by Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger dealing with legislative redistricting, spending cuts, teacher tenure, and limiting political activism by labor unions were soundly defeated. Schwarzenegger had vigorously campaigned for all of them up and down the state. Following his veto of a marriage equality bill earlier this year, Equality California, a leading queer advocacy group in the state, worked in coalition with other opponents of the propositions, distributing more than 200,000 mailers featuring a photo of Schwarzenegger on the cover with the headline, "It's Payback Time." Said the group's executive director, Jeffrey Kors, "Our goal was not only to defeat each of the governor's measures, but to defeat the strategy of dividing people to win elections. We hope these results send a powerful message that the politics of division is unwelcome in the Golden State."
Historic firsts for lesbi-gay candidates included the election of the first openly queer officials to the Cleveland and Columbus, Ohio city councils, as well as the first openly gay city council member in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. Gay men or lesbians were also elected to city councils in Lakewood, Ohio, in the Seattle, Washington suburb of Des Moines, in Palm Springs, California, Minneapolis, Minnesota, New York City, and to the town council in Chapel Hill, North Carolina. The Gay and Lesbian Victory Fund, which works to elect qualified GLBT candidates, announced that of its 55 endorsed candidates this year, 35 won their races or performed well enough to proceed to a runoff. There are now slightly over 300 openly gay or lesbian elected officials in the United States. About half are city council and county commission members, according to the Victory Fund.
Queer rights activists also cheered the defeat of Virginia State Republican Delegate Richard Black, described by the Human Rights Campaign as one of the most anti-gay legislators in America. He co-authored Virginia's Marriage Affirmation Act, which bans same-gender marriages, civil unions, and some fear even private contracts entered into by queer couples. He was defeated by a Democrat who supports civil unions. Black had also fought to ban adoptions by gays and lesbians, proposing legislation that would have required social workers to determine the sexual orientation of prospective parents. But perhaps the sweetest local electoral victory for equality supporters in the U.S. came in Cleveland Heights, Ohio, where City Council member the Reverend Jimmy Hicks Jr., who had earlier campaigned against the country's first voter-approved domestic partner registry there, lost his bid for re-election to Mark Tomeo, an openly gay man.
It may be hard to say whether the U.S. Supreme Court's decision this week not to hear the appeal of a transsexual's successful job discrimination lawsuit indicates anything about how new Chief Justice John Roberts may handle LGBT-related cases, but it is nearly certain that a new associate justice will not be confirmed by the time another such case reaches the court. Roberts came to the court late in the process that ended with the justices letting stand the federal appeals court finding that Cincinnati, Ohio police officer Felicia Barnes was illegally discriminated against when she was demoted during her transition. Barnes' lawsuit cited a 1989 Supreme Court decision on sexual stereotyping in the workplace, one in which retiring Justice Sandra Day O'Connor wrote a separate opinion offering guidelines to help lower courts determine whether an employer had used illegitimate criterion such as sexual stereotyping as a substantial factor in a personnel decision. With an important case involving a challenge to the Pentagon's Don't Ask, Don't Tell policy set to be heard by the High Court in early December, concerned activists are breathing a sigh of relief that swing voter O'Connor will apparently be around for a while. Beleaguered President George W. Bush's second shot at a nominee to fill O'Connor's seat, conservative federal appeals court Judge Samuel Alito, is now scheduled to begin his confirmation hearings before the Senate Judiciary Committee on January 9th.
Alito has already received rave reviews from the Republican Party's religious right constituency that panned the previous nominee, presidential attorney Harriet Myers. He also has a 15-year track record on the bench for Democratic senators to pore through. LGBT legal advocates are also carefully studying Alito's past writings and rulings. One opinion in 2000 struck down a school district's anti-harassment policy found to be in conflict with Christian students' free speech right to criticize homosexuality. Then in 2004, Alito's appeals panel overturned a lower court's decision that a student bullied for being effeminate should be required to continue on to high school with his longtime harassers. Still, Alito's positions on a woman's right to choose, affirmative action, and privacy issues are troubling to many.
And finally, after years of increasing visibility and acceptance of queer content on U.S. television, Brazil was all set for its big moment. On November 4th, a huge TV audience, reportedly larger than the one for the last World Cup soccer final, watched an evening soap opera in anticipation of that country's first televised gay kiss. The final episode of America, broadcast by media giant Globo, got enormous attention for the promise of a smooch between the show's heartthrob Junior, played by Bruno Gagliasso, and hired hand Zeca, played by Aram Cordero. "The director and I made the scene. It was recorded," America screenwriter Gloria Perez told reporters. The two actors claimed they performed the kiss with great gusto, and people from all sectors of society were eagerly anticipating the steamy lip lock. Alas, it was not to be. The kiss never made it to the air. In the final cut of the episode, Globo's management chose to broadcast a version it thought most appropriate for an 8 p.m. showing of a soap opera, the network said in a statement this week. The kiss that didn't happen sparked a passionate protest as hundreds of gays and lesbians staged a kiss-in in front of Brazil's congressional building. Several waved rainbow flags and one protester yelled, "Let's show this country how gays can kiss." Most of the demonstrators were somewhat quieter, of course. After all, they couldn't yell because they were too busy kissing.
And that's News Wrap for the week ending November 12, 2005. Written this week by John Beaupre, Alicia Chappelle, and Greg Gordon, and recorded at the studios of KPFK Los Angeles.
Follow the news in your area. An informed community is a strong community. For This Way Out, I'm John Beaupre.
And I'm Greg Gordon.
You know, every week we get This Way Out, either comes over the satellite or we're able to download it, and it's one of the features that we have here on Queer Voices. It's a very professionally done show. It's done late Sunday, early Monday morning, so it's very fresh. We have a lot of really comprehensive news. That allows us to concentrate more on local issues that we talk about here on Queer Voices. We're going to go out to the lobby now, and it seems awfully quiet out here.
It is awfully quiet out here. In fact, we have two volunteers that are on phones right now, and two that are just now waiting to answer the phone. We need your support right here for Queer Voices. This is the only queer program during prime time here in the Houston area. There is no other program that offers a voice for the gay, bi, and lesbian transgendered. Where else can you get the perspective of a transgendered or an openly gay man or an openly lesbian and find out what their views are to see that they are actually human? You can on Queer Voices. KPFT allows that, and it is allowed by you, the listener-sponsored, to sit there and make that pledge. And right now, Dr. K is offering a deal where he'll match your pledge dollar for dollar. So we have all these phone lines open. We have all these volunteers that are waiting to take your pledge information. It's a simple process, about maybe an answer about four or five questions. You can pledge any amount. We do monthly installments, maybe $10 a month, $5 a month. $5 a month can get you $60. That can get you a nice KPFT navy blue shirt. For $10 a month, you can sit there and get $120. You can actually take advantage of what Dwayne has going on, the 35th anniversary shirt and a 35th anniversary mug. These are all great items to show your support for KPFT, show your support for Queer Voices, and just show your support for Pacifica. I don't hear those phones ringing. I know I have some friends out there. If you want to go ahead and just take advantage of a $2 a month special, that is just a basic membership of $35. You can become a member that is matched double, so that would be $70 that KPFT would get with your $35 pledge.
Yes, and this is the first time that I ever remember that we had a matching gift, and that's real exciting, because for every dollar you give, the station gets an extra dollar. So it really helps us, it helps the station, and it's really important to do so.
And if you haven't done it yet, you need to go ahead and dial that number, 713-526-5738. We're looking for new members. You don't have to sit there and tell us to say your name on the air. We can keep it anonymous, but we want to know you're out there. We're here every week for you. Show us that you're out there for us. It's a simple little pledge. It's not going to hurt you any. It's a tax write-off. In fact, some of you people that work for large corporations, if you go to your HRC, your human resources company, they will, in fact, match you. Thank you for that phone call. Now, if we can just get five more friends to fill up all the rest of these phone lines, we could be rock and rolling and going back to Queer Voices, where you get the excellent program that we have right here.
So we're asking you to call right now, 713-526-5738, 713-526-KPFT.
This is Queer Voices.
This is Deborah Bell, and you were just listening to This Way Out news wrap version, and they were talking about one of my favorite forms of protest, the kiss-in. I just love to do those. And I want to send a big kiss out to Dr. K for your generosity and the very generous and numerous anonymous family who often pledge to KPFT many times during our drives. And you can proudly be out and state your name as a supporter of KPFT and of Queer Voices, or you can remain anonymous, but we surely appreciate every donation. So please keep our volunteers busy. They're so sweet to be here and to help us. And we, some local eatery provided a lovely dinner out there tonight, and we appreciate all that that takes place in our community. And that's what KPFT is about, and that's what Queer Voices is about, is community. And you're part of that community as a listener and as a supporter. So please call 713-526-5738, 713-526-KPFT. Or if you're digitally impaired, you get to call 713-JAM-KPFT. So you have all those choices, 713-526-5738. And speaking of community, we have Ron Hill of the Care for Elders program with us in the studio to talk about this program and what is going on in Harris County for people a little bit older than myself. I'm at the tail end of the boomer generation, so people that are just a few years older and working hard to earn that senior citizen status. You know, you get some discounts with that. That can come in handy, and you deserve it by that time. So, Ron, what exactly is the Care for Elders?
Well, I want to thank you for having me, first of all. But Care for Elders is a program that is a pilot agency here in Harris County to basically be a one-stop shopping or and a volunteer organization to help older and elderly adults here in Harris County maintain the independence in their homes. What we're looking for, we need volunteers to go out and help five areas where the elderly and older adults have found that they need the most help with, which is yard work. They need accompaniment. Most of them are very lonely. You know, most of them are shut-ins, and they have very little family. Mm-hmm. They also errands, general errands. Most of them can't drive anymore. They're looking for people to go pick up their prescriptions, give them a ride to get a haircut, something of that nature. Home maintenance. Leaky faucets are amazing at how they spring up continuously, even in my home.
Especially, like, late Saturday night.
Right, right. And then we also, one of our biggest ones is yard work. They just really can't get out and mow the yard anymore, and they're looking for people to get out there and help. And I know that, you know, most of your listeners, a lot of them do community service, a lot of them do volunteering, and it's a good way to stay active and stay in the community and be out and be visible.
And being on limited income, they have less resources in order to pay someone such as myself,
who does
provide those services in my own business, to do that.
And
Sisters, which is a program that is specifically for lesbians in the community, and the AIDS Foundation with their care teams have been doing the same type of work, providing those services for folks who need them.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, we are real big on taking care of our own, which is a concern for as we get older, and especially if we identify as gay, lesbian, bisexual, and by golly, transgendered. Can you imagine being an elderly transgendered person and trying to get into the mainstream system?
That's exactly right. And the one thing with Care for Elders is that when the program was started, we basically went to the drawing table and said, okay, there's one thing that every person, regardless of race, sex, creed, color, religion, orientation, is you get old.
And you're lucky.
And when you get old, not only are you on limited income, but it also, the services that are provided are, they start to slowly, slowly dwindle away. And as we have the baby boom in 2015 to start retiring, it is going to tax social services. And we need volunteers to help take up that slack, because we want people to stay in their homes and in the environment to which they are the most comfortable with.
Yeah. So give me some statistics about what we're looking at in Harris County with the numbers of people that are in the age range that need these services.
Well, by 2036, at Houston's 200th birthday, older adults that are 65 years of age or older will be 865,000. That's 16% of the total population of Harris County, which if you think nearly 1 million people over 65, that's just astronomical. We have one that actually can go along with the GLBT group is that women account for 59% of Harris County residents over 65 years of age, and they represent 73% over 85.
You know why it is that women tend to live longer than men?
Because we're just so ready to die to get away from you.
Well, I was going to say it a little differently. I was going to say it's our reward for having to put up with all of you for so long.
I like that one better.
Thank you, Jennifer. But actually, you know, there's so many things that can come to mind about people as they get older. I mean, my mother is almost 82. Mm-hmm. She has a chronic health condition. She lives in her own home. I have a sibling that lives there with her. And I count it as a blessing every day that she's able to be in her own home and not in
assisted living.
Mm-hmm. living or maybe some kind of group home.
Correct.
Or you know, I've just seen and heard too many stories, and we always want, sometimes that is the best thing. I mean, there are people dealing with like Alzheimer's or dementia or other health needs that being in assisted living is the best for them and the best for the family.
That's very true, but there are so many that, and one of the missions of Care for Elders is to make sure that their environment is fostered and it's the environment that they choose to be in, because there are so many that are not ready for assisted living but they need that little extra help.
Right.
And when people go into assisted living, their quality to thrive just plummets. Mm-hmm. Because they give up, because they're not in an environment that they're used to. They might have lived in this house for 50 years, and then they go into a group home where everything is done for them. They are not even really allowed to think for themselves. And that's not really a quality of life. And we want to make sure that you are, as an older adult, you're respected for your status of what you've achieved in your life, but also that you have the dignity to live the way you want.
Certainly. And what are some issues that gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgendered people face as they age, and especially, like I said, being in a system that isn't necessarily receptive or understanding, such as that we're still sexual beings even when we get older.
That's very true. And, you know,
as are straight people.
And, you know, the one problem with the GLBT community is that, if you've ever noticed, basically when you turn 50, it's like you disappear, because it's geared towards youth. It's really geared towards youth. And, you know, we're really having the first generation of Americans, the ones that were on the vanguard of gay and lesbian rights, they're going to retire. But when they came of age, it was a sickness. It was looked upon, it was frowned upon. And some of them have a real problem with identifying as that with healthcare providers. They're very distrustful of assisted living homes, because you're in a community that not only are you closeted, but you know are not, basically your needs are not being met in that sense. And we want to change that, but we also, that's one way to change it, is being out there in the community, of having our volunteers saying, hey, we know you're here. We're here to help, and we want to make sure that you have that dignity that you have always had your entire life.
And if people are interested in the program, how do they get in touch with you?
Well, we are on it. We have a website. It's www.careforelders.org, and that's the four is F-O-R. We also are at volunteerhouston.org, which is a huge volunteer organization here in Harris County. And you can contact me directly. My number is 713-964-0211.
And in this project, how did it come about?
Well,
somebody in Harris County said, hey, I think this is a great idea.
Well, you know, actually, it really somewhat came that way. It was several agencies that dealt with elderly and older adults in Harris County realized that there was just a myriad of services that were not being coordinated. And so several of them got together and said, how can we streamline this process to where older adults can basically one-stop shop and find all the needs that they want? And from that point, it snowballed. There's now nearly 200 agencies that are partnered with Care for Elders to make sure that they get the services, that their services are out there and known to the older and elderly population here in Harris County.
Are you familiar with other programs like this in other parts of the country?
We are the very first.
Wow.
This is a pilot agency. There are the grants that they received were from the Robert R. Wood Johnson Foundation, who said, if you can make this work, we want to do it in every city in the United States. And that's... they are very behind us, and I really strongly believe in this program, and I really believe that if we can do it, and Houston would be the first, that it is an agency that would be worthwhile nationwide as our entire nation gets older.
How do people begin to apply for the services?
Well, most people right now in our services are people that are in our agencies. So, you know, we have anywhere from Sheltering Arms to Catholic Charities to volunteers, interfaith volunteers, and different organizations from the Harris County Hospital District. If they are in those agencies, they can contact us. But I will tell you, if you contact Volunteer Houston, we're not going to turn you away. If you need somebody to mow your yard, I'll find somebody to do it for you. If you need somebody just to go to Kroger's for you, we'll find somebody for you. And that's why I want to reach out to the GLBT community to say, hey, we're here, we're out here, we're ready, you know, to help. Come to us. You know, you can come to us anonymously if you're uncomfortable doing it. I'm the easiest person in the world to talk to, and I will hook you up with a volunteer that can help you out and understands your needs.
And then on the other side is you're looking for people from the community who might be interested in helping with this project, being part of it.
That's exactly right. Like I said, getting old does not discriminate. We all will be there. And it's not so much to live in your community. It's as much to be a part of your community. And you not only be proud to be out, but also you have to be visible. So you... by being visible, you can go out in your community, and it's an education process both sides, you know, because there is a chasm of misunderstanding that people need to, basically with a little bit of knowledge and a little bit of help and a little smile, it melts a lot of barriers.
So is there anything that we haven't covered that you would like to emphasize about the program?
Well, you know, we are constantly expanding the program. So if there are people out there, different agencies that are looking to get involved with us, we will gladly take you on and come on in. We want active partners in this agency, in Care for Elders, to make sure that it stays a viable community organization.
So give that website again.
It is www.careforelders.org.
Thank you, Ron Hill, Volunteer Coordinator for Care for Elders.
Well, thank you, and just remember everyone to donate to KPFT.
Thank you so much. You're listening to Queer Voices.
And we do want to remind you that it is time. It's time to call us now at 713-526-5738. 713-526-KPFT. And as usual, it seems awfully quiet out in the lobby.
Well, it was a flurry up there. We do have some people to thank.
Well, great.
Yeah, we do. We have Ellen out there for a generous pledge of $100. Put that on that credit card. Thank you so much, Ellen. And remember, because of that pledge, it is matched dollar for dollar. So y'all do the math out there. Jerry, a brand new member at the student level, welcome to the KPFT family at $25. She called and she said it took forever to find it, but she finally found Queer Voices, is now a proud new member. That amount is matched dollar for dollar. And then we have an awesome renewing member, Victor, whopping $20 a month. He showed more initiative than a lot of people have out here today. He put $20 a month. That is $240. That has been matched dollar for dollar. So you do the math on that one. And another student, Alan, renewing member, has renewed his member for Queer Voices at $25, which is also matched dollar for dollar. And we do have a volunteer who's taking a pledge right now. We do have four lines that are open up in here. Last time we did the little pitch, it got really hectic, really busy out there. See if we can't do it again and show Jack Valinsky, J.D. Doyle, Deborah Bell, Ron Hill. What other program will bring some information like what Ron Hill is offering? Volunteer for Elderly Care. You know you want to be part of it. You can be part of it. He gave you the information of it. You couldn't get it from any other radio station but KPFT here in Houston, 89.5 in Galveston. Galveston. Call that number, 713-526-5738. We've already had five of our friends come in at an excellent... thank you for that phone call. There's another friend up there. We have three more lines, three more volunteers out there to take your information. Show your support to KPFT, and we can return to Queer Voices with its awesome programming.
Yes, and we're asking you to call us now. Call us now at 713-526-5738. And remember, it is a matching gift, up to $5,000 towards this show. And we have until 9 p.m., so we're asking you to call. That KPFT is a very special station. Where else can you get programming like this, not only Queer Voices, but After Hours and some of the many other programs that are on? So we're asking you to call. Call us now, 713-526-5738, 713-526-KPFT.
Extra, extra, read all about it, extra.
In a Time magazine cover story in mid-October called The Battle Over Gay Teens, John Cloud explored what coming out is like for queer kids at the beginning of the 21st century. He reached some opinionated conclusions about the next generation and how adult GLBT communities are or are not caring for them. This Way Out correspondent Kathy Sanchez caught up with John Cloud recently to discuss some of his discoveries.
The article was very in-depth and obviously took some time to conduct the interviews and gather the information. What got you started on this issue? What interested you about the coming out process for gay youth?
I was a gay kid, but and in 1997, right after I got the Time, I suggested a similar article, and in fact did a similar article, although much smaller. At that time, it was interesting to me that there were 100 gay straight alliances, and now 2,900 additional GSAs have been formed. Now, some of those have folded. Last year, something like 3 GSAs were formed per day during the school year. So it's certainly spread from the coasts to the entire country, which was the other interesting thing, having grown up myself in Arkansas, you know, where you think you're the only person alive.
You mentioned in the article that teens weren't helped during the coming out stages by the LGBT community as a whole for many years. In your interview with the teens, what did they say about that?
Well, what they say is that they still don't necessarily sense that, you know, gay culture really has much for them. And I think there's two levels for that. There's the political level, which for these kids, the gay politics as it's conducted in Washington by the Human Rights Campaign in New York by Lambda Legal is more or less irrelevant to them. I mean, they're not ready to get married. You know, most of them are joining the military. This sort of marquee symbol that the Human Rights Campaign has been trying for so long to get, which is the, you know, non-discrimination, federal non-discrimination legislation, it doesn't really matter if you're 16 and you don't have a job. So I would say politically, they don't see much for them. And then also culturally, gay culture was formed and is formed and is consists mostly of adult things. I mean, we share sexual interests. And so that becomes a rather adult culture. And when you're 16 years old and you're coming out and you go online, you can find things. And in fact, this was part of what the article is about. You find more and more things that are targeted for youth, like the website younggayamerica.com, which is a really great website, or outproud.org, which is more of a resource website. But there's a lot of also, you know, gay porn and internet and chats and that are inappropriate for kids. And I mean, think about it. If you're 15 years old, whether you're straight or you're gay, you know, the characters on Will and Grace don't make sense to you necessarily. I mean,
right.
Their lives look rather foreign to you, and so that's, you know, no different if you're a, you know, gay or a bi or a trans kid.
Looking at it from the other perspective, in talking to the Gay and Lesbian Straight Education Network, or GLSEN, and other gay organizations, did they offer any explanation as to why, if coming out is easier for teens, there's still a good deal of harassment and violence in schools?
Well, to answer the first part, I mean, I think it's easier for kids to come out now because culturally it's much more accepted. I mean, you know, one of the biggest shows in the country is Desperate Housewives. One of the sons of one of the housewives was seen in a pool last season with another boy. They're, you know, they're in high school. He came out to his parents. His sexuality is somewhat uncertain, you know, but he's at the very least bisexual. And by the way, that is a very common, that's actually quite accurate for such a silly show. It's quite accurate for the lives of a lot of gay kids now. They don't necessarily claim a gay identity. They don't like gay politics. They don't necessarily believe that gay culture reflects their lives. So they say they're polysexual, or they're, you know, just attracted to the person.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in terms of schools, there are kids who come out in the traditional way, and they are bashed and made fun of, and you know, I don't, and there is a greater risk of suicide for gay teens than there is for straight teens or for all teens.
Mm-hmm.
Now, some of that, a lot of that research is a little bit older, but all of the research has indicated there is a greater risk for suicide.
You did a lot of spending time with a lot of youth. You did, you know, days at camp with both Exodus and also with GLSEN and GSAs. Overall, after all the interviews, after all the research, what did you walk away with?
I guess I walked away with, you know, a fair amount of surprise, and I tried to convey this in the article about how young people are, you know, the extent to which people are coming out. And by that, I don't just mean claiming a gay identity. You know, there is a sort of, and this is what some of these activists are fighting over, there's this kind of tenuous ground where kids, they don't really come out, but they say, oh, you know, I really am in love with my best friend. I mean, a girl will say that she's really in love with her best friend, and she has strong romantic attractions for her best friend, and she'll tell her other friends that, and that she, you know, maybe wants to kiss her best friend. So she clearly has some same-sex attractions. Is this girl a lesbian? Well, not really in any way that we would think of it. I mean, maybe she's 15, and maybe she's never had sex, and maybe there have been some love letters exchanged, or maybe there's been a kiss. But that sort of adolescent process of kind of working all this out, and the fact that that has become so much more public and that kids are so much more willing to talk about it, that really surprised me. I mean, to find a kid like the boy who's on our cover,
mm-hmm.
You know, who came out under the circumstances that he did and really has had, you know, not much trouble related to that. I mean, I guess that was the most surprising thing. And I just to emphasize, I met Corey, who's on our cover, at an Exodus conference. He went to Exodus is this Christian ministry for people who don't want to be gay. He went there not because he doesn't want to be gay, but because he wanted to investigate that side of the argument. I found that really remarkable and actually really optimistic, sort of really wonderful. I mean, I think that's a very bright way of going about it. Instead of screaming at each other, you know, we can sort of listen to each other.
That was John Cloud, the author of the mid-October Time magazine cover story about queer youth, in conversation with our Kathy Sanchez. You can find the entire article online at a number of websites.
Lo, 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 lo. If you go down to the woods today, you're in for a big surprise.
Surprise!
If you go down in the woods today, you better go in disguise. For every dyke that ever there was will gather there for certain, because today's the day the lesbians have their picnic.
Happy lesbians!
Every lesbian who's been gold is sure of a treat today.
Today there's lots of marvelous things to eat and wonderful games to play.
To play beneath the trees where nobody sees, they'll hide and seek as long as they please, cause that's the way the lesbians have their picnic. If you go down to the woods today, you better not go alone. It's lovely down in the woods today, but safer to stay
at home.
For every dyke that ever there was will gather there for certain, because today's the day the lesbians have their picnic.
Picnic time for lesbians.
What fun!
The lusty lesbians are having a lovely time today.
Watch them run and play.
Watch them catch
them unawares.
Surprise and see the picnic on their holiday.
Today is their special day.
See them gaily
gad about and rock.
They love to play and shout.
They never have any cares.
The lesbians that play at this support.
Their friends and their lovers will take them home to bed.
Because they're tired little lesbians.
Little lesbians.
Picnic time for lesbians.
What fun!
The lusty lesbians are having a lovely time today.
Watch them run and play.
Watch them catch them
unaware.
Surprise and see them picnic on their holiday.
Is It's their special day.
See them gaily gather about and rock. They love to play and shout. They never have any cares. The lesbians that play at 6 o'clock, their friends and their lovers will take them home to bed, because they're tired little lesbians.
That is Di Cappello, Lesbian Picnic. Another selection that J.D. puts together for us. J.D. has probably the world's largest collection of queer music. And it's part of that. It's not just the politics. It's not just talking about the volunteers in a nonprofit organization. It's a culture of the community. And we talk about all of those different things here on Queer Voices. And sometimes some things overshadow other things. And this week, of course, the politics has been a little bit heavy with the election coming on. And we're going to be talking about that shortly, but before we do that, we would like to give you the opportunity to pledge to KPFT, and you can do that by calling 713-526-5738, 713-526-KPFT, and we're going to go out to the lobby now and see where we stand, and right now we've got a matching grant for up to $5,000 for every dollar pledged. It will be matched to KPFT and to Queer Voices goal.
And we do have a new member to welcome to the Queer Voices KPFT family. Karen, thank you. Welcome to the family. She made a generous donation. We have Mac, who's out there in the Houston area listening to Queer Voices. He dropped a whopping good bill on you. And then we have James. He came in on a renewing membership. So that brings our total to $610, which, if you don't recall, every dollar is matched. So that is helping KPFT Pacifica itself, along with Queer Voices, a whole lot. And we want to thank you for that. Now, we're talking about the people that haven't taken the initiative and called that number, 713-526-5738. In fact, y'all just now heard about the teddy bear picnic, and I was quite surprised when one of the young volunteers started jumping up and actually dancing around the table, singing words to word. A straight woman, of all people, was able to actually tell me the history of that song. It used to be a theme song for a little kids show back in the day. That is the type of programming that you'll get here at KPFT, along with Queer Voices. You never know what you're going to get, but whatever it is, it's going to be entertaining, it's going to be fun, and we would like you to have some fun right now by dialing that number, 713-526-5738.
Yes, and sometimes we don't know what's coming up next, but we do try to plan the show. We try to give it a balance of things that are going on in the community, things that are upcoming. There's movies coming out all the time. There's plays coming out. We try to cover that as much as possible. We can't cover everything. We try to talk about the issues of coming out, the issues of HIV/AIDS, the political issues that are going on in this community. And we're all volunteers here at KPFT, and we really appreciate the opportunity of being able to do a program like this. And as we continue on with the program, let's continue on.
This is Queer Voices.
Yes, this is Queer Voices, and Smiley, that was a slightly different version of the teddy bear picnic. That was the lesbians' picnic. And you know, there's such talent out there in the queer community, and JD does bring that special music and culture to this program and to This Way Out with Audiophile. And you can look up on his website, queermusicheritage.com or .org, either one, Queer Music Heritage, and he has information about artists and songs, and, you know, there's a history we don't even know about that can be found through that culture and through that music. Breakthrough used to be a program here on KPFT. I can't even say KPFT. I don't know what's with that. It's that Mercury retrograde thing tonight. the full moon and all that. But there are women artists. And not too long ago, I spoke to someone and I said something about women's music, and they said, "What's that?" And it was so startling to me to realize there's a whole generation of young lesbians that don't know about their own culture this thing called women's music. And we get to have a little bit of that on Queer Voices. And it's so important that we archive it, that we remember it, and that we promote it. And so we also promote up-and-coming artists. And there's a rich culture that is taking place even as we speak. So please be part of supporting that on KPFT and make your pledge. I want to thank Dr. K for the matching pledge. And remember, your dollar goes a longer way tonight by having that matching pledge. Last week, we didn't meet our goal. I didn't like that very much. I went home and cried and cried and cried into my little pillow. But tonight, I'm going to be smiling. I'm going to be happy because I know you're going to do your part and give your generous donation to KPFT, 713-526-5738. Now, there were a lot of tears this week.
Well, actually, Deborah, before we do that, let's play Smiley's news item.
Okay, this is a recap concerning the election on Tuesday.
Election results came in on a large screen television at Guavalamp Nightclub, members and supporters of several GLBT rights groups reflected on the addition of a same-sex marriage ban to the state constitution. Eva is a board member for Equality Texas. She and her wife have been together for 10 years and have four adopted children.
We have an 11-and-a-half-year-old and 10-year-old sons, and then we have twin 2-year-olds, a boy and a girl. They're Isaiah, Salim, Quincy, and Maya. And they have wonderful hyphenated last names.
Despite her disappointment that 75% of voters across the state favored Proposition 2, Eva says she still believes in Texas.
I always have believed in Texas. I believe that there are a lot of Texans who don't vote, and there are a lot of people who just don't know the whole story. However, I will say that the 92-year-old woman who lives next door to us took care to come over tonight and say, "Well, girls, I just wanted you to know that I went and voted, and I said no to that nasty hate stuff in the Constitution. You're all right by me."
Such encounters were common for those who conducted outreach on Proposition 2, although, of course, not everyone was supportive.
I had one man I gave a card to, and I said, "Please vote against Prop 2." And he goes, "You're damn right I'm going to vote against it." And he went in, and he came out, and he went, "Wait a minute. I don't like gay marriage. Was I supposed to vote against it or for it?" I went, "What did you do?" He said, "I voted against it." And I went, "Thank you for your vote."
Christopher Bowen has been partners with attorney Jerry Simino for 19 years. Simino is a GLBT legal activist who also organized an annual gay marriage ceremony.
And it's in a church, and it's to prove the fact that you can get married in your church. And your church does recognize your marriage. It's just the state of Texas that doesn't recognize your marriage.
Simino says the language of Proposition 2 is messy and will soon be challenged in court, possibly by his law firm seeking a federal injunction.
We have a very strong case. This law is so crazy that nobody can even understand exactly what that second paragraph means. What does it mean when they say that this state can't recognize anything similar or identical to marriage? Well, if you talk to someone who is a philosophy student, they'll tell you that logically anything is identical to itself, and so marriage is identical to itself. Is this a null marriage? Well, I think that's preposterous to think that a judge would do that, but it's a valid legal question. The other problem is what does similar to marriage mean? Similar has no definition in the legal realm. We have a definition for something called substantially similar, which is used a lot, and we know what that means. But we don't know what similar means. It's never been defined in American law.
Even as Proposition 2 passed, last night Houston's GLBT community celebrated the re-election of Anise Parker as city comptroller. Parker is an open lesbian.
When I was elected in 97, and I remember the first thing I said to the media after I was elected was that I was proud to represent the gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgender.
Parker campaigned against Proposition 2.
Are you going to continue?
No, I have. There's a woman who has shared my life for 15 years. Together, we took care of my elderly grandparents. This is a woman who changed my grandfather's diapers with me. This is a woman who is raising children with me. We have two adopted daughters. This is a woman that I want to spend the rest of my life with. She deserves full acknowledgement for the role she plays in my life, and I want the ability to express that love for her.
Sue Lovell is now in a runoff election for city council at large position too. Lovell says her success indicates some progress has been made for the GLBT community despite the passage of Proposition 2.
When I was young, we were criminals, and this community's come a long way. We'll continue to just fight, and the best thing that we can do as a community is to continue to reach out for people, you know, get to know us, get to know our families. That's really how you change people's attitudes, is by them getting to know you. So we have a long way to go on this, and I'm disappointed, but I'm so proud of the people in Houston and the effort and the work that they put into it, and they should not be discouraged. They should continue to stay in the fight, because we've had setbacks before, and we've prevailed. It takes some time, but don't give up.
In collaboration with Renee Feltz, I'm Smiley Maddox for KPFT Local News in downtown Houston.
Thank you, Smiley, for that contribution to Queer Voices that was originally aired on last Wednesday. The Houston Equal Rights Alliance was one of the leading groups working to defeat Proposition 2, and with us are Emily and Tammy, who are, freshly returned from the Creating Change Conference that the National Gay and Lesbian Task Force puts on every year, which is just an incredible event. So they finished up the campaign on Prop 2 and then went off to get re-energized and to learn more stuff to be ready for what comes next. And Jack originally titled this segment, "What the Word That We Cannot Say on the Radio Do We Do Now?" So let's talk a little bit about what happened with Proposition 2 and what we're going to do now that the state, the citizens of this great state of Texas, have voted to put into our state constitution something that is so outrageously discriminatory. Tammy?
Well, you know, Deborah, I mean, there's no denying. I mean, we have to acknowledge the pain from last week, the difficulty. There's a lot of emotion surrounding the election. But it's important that we realize that our lives are not about one campaign. This is a movement. And a movement consists of many campaigns. It consists of an educational process. It consists of time after time. We pick up the pieces and we move on. And so when we look at it from that perspective, a movement, you know, there's plenty of opportunity for us to push forward. We have a lot of work to do. We weren't going to wake up Wednesday morning and have full and equal rights in this state or this country. We were going to have the same amount of work to do whether we win or lose.
That's an important point, that if we had in fact won, it still would have not meant that two men or two women could marry one another, because in the state of Texas we already have laws on the books that say that we can't. But so were you surprised by the numbers?
I wasn't surprised. It's hard, but, you know, because we work so hard on this, to think that we've made more of a difference in the numbers. But to me, it's really, this is where people start out, 75-25. And if this is, it's hard to not wake up on Wednesday to feel like everyone in Texas voted against you personally, and you go around pointing fingers and wondering how people voted, because I know, I think, you know, we certainly do that the next day. It's, you know, recovery. But in all honesty, it's 75-25 is where people start, and we just really need to go out and keep having these conversations with them, the open, honest dialogue about our lives, for them to really understand how they're voting. Because it's not really in a personal attack, it's really just where they start out not knowing who we are. So where do we go now is, you know, we need to have more of these conversations. It's hard to do. You know, we'd love to just stay in our own little niche, but we really need to go out there and talk to our families more, and talk to our neighbors, and talk to the people at the grocery store.
And you go up and you go, "Hi, I'm a big old queer. I think I should have rights." No? That's not how you do it?
That could be one way.
There could be a way, maybe not a very effective way. Well, I think someone mentioned this to me, that having this issue before the public had people thinking about something that they don't ordinarily have to think about, whereas in our lives we do. But there's an awful lot of people, there's a lot of straight people that were supportive of us, but it just never occurred to them that it was an issue. And suddenly they're like, hey, yeah, that's a, I had one man tell me, well, you know, there's a lot of economic issues involved, and someone needs to be able to take care of the family, their family, just the same way I needed to take care of mine.
Well, you know, Deborah, I mean, you know, this loss is tough, but, you know, we had a huge opportunity to talk to voters one-on-one. We educated. I mean, it's almost like a PR campaign on our lives. And granted, you know, the numbers didn't come out like we wanted, but it created huge opportunity to dialogue. We have more supporters than we did, you know, and every time we have an opportunity to talk to people one-on-one, they learn a little bit more, they spread that word. That is a good thing. So, in a way, this election has been about opportunity to educate the public.
And voter ID continues to be a big aspect of it?
Definitely. I think it's the most important work we can do, especially before we can win. We need to keep having these conversations because, you know, we could put up billboards and we can put out our yard signs, but if people don't really have those conversations and learn about, you know, their coworker or their neighbors, then it's not, we're not really going to go anywhere.
Mm-hmm. Well, and moving ahead from here, I mean, you know, let's remember that there are a lot of issues that impact this community beyond marriage equality. I mean, we have HIV/AIDS, we have safe schools for GLBT youth. We have a tremendous responsibility to pick up and go on. This is one campaign out of, you know, a movement that we're going to be working on to achieve full and equal rights. And the work has started.
Mm-hmm. Now, I know on Tuesday night, on the night of the election, that the lesbian gay rights lobby of Texas announced that they are now going to be called Equality Texas. And the No Nonsense in November campaign also plans to continue because it's what's coming up this next November where we can make an impact on who gets elected in our state offices that could ultimately make a difference down the road. How about the Houston Equal Rights Alliance?
Well, you know, our work continues. I mean, we were sitting in a board meeting tonight. We're working on our strategy moving forward. I mean, what we knew after this election was the work continued. We've had elections in 2006, 2017. It goes on. And we're proud to have as our alliance partners the formerly the Lesbian Gay Rights Lobby of Texas, Equality Texas, and other groups in town. And we're going to solidify those relationships going forward for 2006. We're going to ask people to step up and do more work than you've ever done in this community. If you haven't done anything yet, believe me, the Houston Equal Rights Alliance is going to give you that opportunity. If you've been working in the community, we're going to ask you to step it up a notch because we have so much work to do.
Yeah, I think that was a real message. And in a lot of ways, I think maybe it was a good thing that we didn't win because I think the tendency is for people to become complacent. And now we have something saying, hey, you know, kind of knocks you in the head. You know, first you have to get their attention. And so what are some you want to ask a question, Grant?
I was going to say, you know, most people in the state of Texas, they don't know anyone who's gay or they don't realize they know anyone who's gay. And I can tell you getting out there and having those conversations, making yourself visible is probably the most powerful educational thing you can do because it is very hard to be bigoted against someone that you know as a human being.
Definitely.
And once again, supporting people in wherever they are in their coming out process. I mean, the number one most political thing, positive thing you can do is to come out. But coming out is something you do with every new person that you meet and every new situation that you're in. And sometimes it's not a safe thing to do, and you have to, you know that, okay, I can't be out right now because my life could be in danger. But other than that, I think most people get positive from the coming out experience. They live their lives more fully. And being involved politically and realizing how politics affects our lives is so mm-hmm. important. And I think that's one of the things is people don't realize that not only is the personal the political, but the political is the personal.
Right.
We each have an impact to make a difference, not just with our vote, but by our activism. So how can people get involved? Do you have something specific planned right now that they can do?
Well, we're working on our strategic plan for 2006 and beyond. Right now, as a new organization, the Houston Equal Rights Alliance is trying to develop infrastructure, because you know what? We're not about just 2006 or 2007 or 2010. We know this is a movement. We intend that this organization will be around for a very long time, supporting our statewide organizations, supporting our national organizations. So we're going to ask people to step into roles and help us with infrastructure. I mean, we have a huge need, for example, for database management. We've got a lot of data. We need to make sure to work this data, get it all in. That's an opportunity we have right now.
You're listening to KPFT Houston, Texas, 90.1 FM in Houston. And thank you for listening to Queer Voices. We are in a fund drive and appreciate your support. So please call us at 713-526-5738. I'm talking with Tammy and Emily from the Houston Equal Rights Alliance about the recent election and concerning the proposed amendment to the state constitution, which is now moving forward because of the vote to become part of our state constitution that says the definition of marriage is between one man and one woman. And then it has a further statement about other government entities not being able to establish anything that is identical or similar to marriage, which is ambiguous language that we don't know quite what it means. Are there any court cases planned that we know of? Is anyone looking at this and saying, I'm going to file a lawsuit?
You know, you heard Jerry Simoneau talk, a wonderful attorney here in Houston, and I know he has been in discussions working with Lambda Legal for potential litigation. I know that those discussions are still ongoing, and I would expect that we'll see something. They're continue to work out strategies, so, but I would expect we would see that sooner rather than later.
Mm-hmm. And how do people get in touch with the organization?
You can call us at 713-522-HERA, H-E-R-A. It's 713-522-4372. You can also check us out on the web at www.HoustonERA.org.
And, I mean, my gosh, you had people, I mean, so many people that were coming out, being involved. One thing that was rewarding to me was to see so many younger people being involved for the first time. And we now have, like, a force of trained volunteers. Not just volunteers, but people that have already had some experience under their belt and who kind of know what the ropes are. Mm-hmm. And they're ready to go into political campaigns and work for candidates. They're ready for whatever the next step is. And that's a big accomplishment.
Well, that's important to note. I mean, you see Emily sitting here. She is, you know, she's our future, and she's done a fantastic job leading.
Hey, our future's looking good.
That's right.
Thank you.
But you know, on Tuesday we won in so many ways. You know, it's how we frame it, win or loss, but we won in so many ways because we made an investment in the long term, developing youth leadership. You see Emily sitting here. We've amassed more voter IDs. We're developing infrastructure here in Houston. There's so many ways. We you know, through the No Nonsense in November campaign, a coalition of over, Emily can clarify, 1,500 people.
Right. It's the largest coalition we've ever built here in Texas to fight.
Wow.
Those are wins. Yeah. Those are wins.
And then on the who got elected front, I mean, we have Mayor of Houston, Bill White. I mean, so many of the candidates that were endorsed by the Houston Gay, Lesbian, Bisexual, Transgender Political Caucus PAC. A niece had no opposition, which was wonderful. Ada Edwards, a good community friend, had no opposition. And then, of course, Sue Lovell, District at Large 2, is in a runoff. And, you know, that is like a real wonderful thing and gives us right now we have an avenue to go be involved for someone who's going to be working on the behalf of the rights of all the people of the city who will fight discrimination in whatever form it appears. So, and then nationally, there were some very positive wins elsewhere. I mean, we need to work on it a little bit more in Texas, but there are things to be hopeful about, and that feels good. So is there anything else that you want to say before we close off for this evening? Anything you want to get in?
I like to say that the campaign and being at Creating Change has been a huge reflection time for me to think about what we're doing now as far as politics, you know, we think of the GLBT community as a cohesive whole, the GLBT, when in reality we all live very separate lives as far as being of different races and classes and economic, you know, political involvement. But so it's not just about marriage equality, it's not just about politics, it's also about a lot of cultural change that needs to take place now as far as engaging people, talking about queer homeless youth, talking about being transgender in the shelter system here in Houston, about, you know, thinking about keeping our supporters in office, but also within, you know, talking about race in our community and how, you know, talking about being queer and religious. There's just a lot of things that we need to start the dialogue on here.
Boy, that's a lot to look forward to, too, because I think that dialogue is very vital and very needed. Each of us, I mean, I've attended many Creating Change conferences, and I always leave them feeling like I have been enriched and grown as a person just for myself, much less the sense of community that's created. Again, that's what KPFT is about, is community, and you are a part of that community, and that's why you need to be calling and supporting us with your donation, with your pledge. Remember, it's going to be matched tonight, so if you have hesitated at all, this is the time that you really need to step forward, pick up the phone, push those buttons, or if you still, for some reason, have a rotary dial, 713-526-5738, 713-526-KPFT. Thank you, Emily and Tammy, for being with us on Queer Voices.
At 90.1 FM, this is KPFT Houston. Now, more of Queer Voices with Jack Belinsky, Joan Devlin, J.D. Doyle, and Glenn Holt.
It is now your turn to pick up the phone and dial us at 713-526-5738, 713-526-KPFT. We're going to go out in the lobby now and see if we have anybody to thank.
We do have someone to thank. It's a little quiet right now. People might be taking a coffee break or using that restroom, and hopefully when they get back, they'll be dialing that number for Jack, 713-526-5738. We had a member of the community walk in his pledge, and of course that pledge was matched dollar for dollar, so I want to thank Mr. Gerber here. Thank you very much. I appreciate that, walking in here. It is awfully lonely out here, but you can change that. You can stop this silence by dialing that number, 713-526-5738. We have excellent premiums to show our appreciation for you. You can pick up one of these 35th annual anniversary shirts or get the KPFT news shirt. But basically, we just want you to pick up that phone. Maybe, like I said, $2 a month, you become a member. You have a voting voice here at KPFT. You can say, hey, you know what? Queer Voices needs to have 3 hours of airtime.
Well, you know, we talked about the election right now, but the reality is we're in it for the long run. And so is KPFT. KPFT is in it for the long run. On the air for 35 years. And Pacifica's been around for about 55 years. And, you know, we're only about 5 stations and compared to the 10,000 radio stations in this country. But what Pacifica stands for is the ability for people to bring their ideas on the air, to be able to talk to them without any corporate mention or without any, you know, particular type of the, you know, views that the right wing seems to have all over the rest of the dial, but that we try to bring in all different types of views.
That's why we say it's community radio, listener-sponsored. It is your voice. This is your voice you're hearing. Generally, during, of course, it's Fun Drive, but during Queer Voices, you'd more than welcome call the studio and be able to speak your word. Maybe you had a comment on something Ron Hill said, or maybe something about you wanted to sit there and ask a transgender and how they come that way. This is the chance, this is the program where you can do it at. You can't do it on anything else. You can't call on PBS. You can't call on the local commercial stations. Pacifica offers you that outlet. It gives you the chance to see what's really out there, what's really behind it, and why it's there. You can't get this programming anywhere else in Houston at all. So show your support. Dial that number. We have a volunteer that's taking some information right now. We have two more volunteers that just walked in to help answer the phone. Demasi Mediterranean Grill has gave these volunteers something excellent to munch on while they're sitting there waiting for you to call that number, 713 526
5738. And without any further ado, let's get back to this excellent program, Queer Voices with Jack Valinsky.
Wow, I think we got Smiley all talked out. So we're asking you to call us now. Call us now at 713-526-5738.
This is Queer Voices.
Once again, just want to thank you if you've made a pledge and to ask you if you haven't to please do so now, 713-526-5738. You know, KPFT is known as Radio for Peace, and peace is not just the absence of war. It's about the safety that we have in our daily lives and our freedom to be who we are. And that's part of the mission and part of the message of this radio station. And it really is a rare thing to have queer voices on the radio, people that talk about the reality of their lives and the things that can happen to us and what our coming out process is. And it is now a chance for all of you to be part of making it all happen by making your donation now. And so please pledge 713-526-5738. Jennifer Renee has a guest in to talk about an important day, talking about our lives and the impact society can have on them and how we can address that.
Yes. With us tonight is Kristen Williams. This coming weekend, actually Sunday, is the Transgender Day of Remembrance. I'm going to let her explain exactly what that's about, Kristen.
Well, the Houston Transgender Remembrance, this is about the seventh year that we've done this event. This is the first year that it's going to be actually a multi-event, a multi-day event. Let's see. It starts off this Friday, November 18th, at the Houston GLBT Community Center. We're having a free screening of Boys Don't Cry. It's an Academy Award-winning film. Some of you might remember that. It's a great film. And there's a local organization called Houston Area Community Services. They have a transgender clinic, and they're providing free popcorn and drinks to that screening. The very next day, they're sponsoring a safety course for Houston transgenders at their drop-in center located at 402 Pacific Street. That'd be on November 19th, beginning at 6:30. They're having that catered. And some of you may know Lily Roddy. She's a third-degree black belt in Taekwondo and Tai Chi Chuan, and she will be giving safety course, and of course that's free.
Now, how do people sign up for that? Do they have to call first, or they can just show up?
They can just show up. It's open to all who would like to learn about street safety in Houston. And then, of course, there's the official Day of Remembrance. And that'll be on November 20th, and it'll officially begin at 7 o'clock, and that'll be at the Houston Holocaust Museum, and it's free. That includes free museum tours. There'll be speakers on after the remembrance ceremony. There will be a free wine and cheese reception, and then a TG panel discussion talking about issues of relating to the transgender community. This year, for instance, in Houston, there was a transgender evacuee from Houston who fled the New Orleans flood for the safety of Houston, only to become one of the individuals that will be remembered this year. It's actually a very powerful event, and you know, all are welcome to come, and please participate.
Now, Chris, I'm sorry.
I was going to say, how long has this been going on here in Houston?
About 7 years. That began, I believe, Vanessa Foster began organizing the first Day of Remembrances here in Houston, and some of you may have remembered they used to be held at the and on the steps of City Hall, and they were intimate events and quite moving. And as I said, this is the first year that it's going to be held. It's going to be kind of a bit larger, and it's actually the first year that it's had official sponsorship. As I said, Houston Area Community Services, their transgender clinic, is sponsoring it, and so is, believe it or not, Houston HRC is sponsoring this event.
And who's organizing it?
That would be the Houston Transgender Unity Committee.
And is this recognized nationally, or is it just here in Houston?
Well, of course, it's actually a worldwide event, and there will be more than 100 observances worldwide on November 20th. Actually, there's a reason why it's being held at the Houston Holocaust Museum. You know, many people kind of associate the Holocaust with, you know, what happened to the Jewish people. But, you know, not Germany, pre-Nazi Germany, was actually the first place to begin to really work with the transgender community. There was a man named Magnus Hirschfeld who had an institute of sexology in Germany, pre-Nazi Germany. He oversaw the very first sex reassignment surgery ever. He came up with a lot of the procedures for working with the transgender community, and some of you may have heard that the Night of the Long Knives on May 6, 1933, the Nazis came in and overran the institute and seized all of the client rosters and began taking the transgender clients and putting them into the death camps. Along with the sexologist, Magnus Hirschfeld fled and died 2 years later in exile. Now, a lot of his the things that he came up with as far as working with the transgender community was then carried on to Harry Benjamin of the now memorialized in the Harry Benjamin International Gender Dysphoria Association, which has made all of the medical rules and regulations for dealing with transsexuals for medical and psychological care. So we really have a direct history stemming from you know, Nazi Germany. Most of the writings and everything that Magnus had done associated with the transgender communities was actually wiped out by the Nazis.
I'm sure there are a few Texans that would like to round us up, too.
Apparently, yeah.
Now, exactly what do you mean by Day of Remembrance? Is this for transgendered people who have died?
This is for individuals who were murdered due to their gender variance for some reason or another.
So a hate crime.
Yes, it is a hate crime.
Victims of discrimination and violence due to either their gender identity or their perceived gender identity.
Exactly. Exactly. You know, there's actually some flyers going around with listing some of the names of the individuals who were murdered. You know, for instance, one was set on fire and burned to death. Several of them were murdered through violence associated with guns. Several of them were beaten to death, knived to death. You know, the throat
slashed. Can you talk a little bit more about the evacuee from Katrina who was murdered, murdered in Houston?
Well, originally, whenever the story was reported in the Houston Chronicle, it was reported that a man dressed as a woman had been shot. And the original story actually related a whole lot about how strange it was that they were, you know, that they were actually a man. And basically what happened was this individual was shot in the head and was staying in some apartment complexes, in an apartment complex, and was able to make it to the gate, I assume to try to escape, and collapsed there at the gate of the apartment complex. And that was where they found the victim. The very first press release by the Houston Chronicle went into detail about talking about the neighbors, that they couldn't believe that, you know, that that was actually a man, and how interesting that was. For instance,
so that became more of a story than the fact that somebody had been shot.
Absolutely.
And now they were found dead, right?
Yes.
They didn't get to go to the hospital and have any chance of recovery.
No.
Oh gosh. And then has someone been charged with that crime?
To my knowledge, no. No. Not at all.
So we really don't know if they were killed specifically because they were transgendered, or there's some reason to believe that is the probability.
Well, it was known, in the first press release that the Houston Chronicle came out with, they talked about the fact that her and her roommate would sit outside and socialize, and that it was known to some of the individuals that was in fact a transgender person. Some of the other neighbors did not know, and as far as the news reports went, there was no, nothing was taken. There were no drugs involved. And in those situations, unless you actually have the individual who murdered the person saying, well, yes, I murdered that person because I hate transsexuals or transgenders and, you know, I'm guilty, there's no, you know, way to actually say, yes, they were killed specifically because they were transgendered. However, kind of reasonably deducing that drugs weren't involved, no money was taken.
It leads one to believe.
Yes.
Jennifer and Kristen, both of you might want to address this just for the benefit of educational purposes. When we say transgendered, and is that what you call a person who is identifies as, you say, transgendered?
Right. A transgender is anyone whose physical makeup, emotional, sexual, and or self-expression is in conflict with current cultural gender stereotypes. You break down the word as in trans, as to go through or across, gender. And when we say gender, we're talking about the cultural gender norms.
Male, female,
that's correct. So you step outside of that box and you transcend your gender, your cultural gender role, transgender. And whenever you look at transsexual, it's the same kind of thing, but that's about transcending your sex, whereas transgender is transcending your
gender. So a transsexual can also be considered transgendered.
That's correct.
But that means someone who has had surgery?
That does want surgery.
Okay. They may not have been able to have it yet.
That's correct.
They may be going through any stage of the process.
That's correct.
Yeah. Thank you for clarifying that. So tell us more. Jennifer, you're involved with the Unity Committee as well. What else does the Unity Committee do?
Well, we represent a combination of all the transgender groups here in Houston and the surrounding areas. It grew from the need for the different groups, small as they may be, to have one voice when speaking to other sources. Also to bring together the organization to, as we have each year, a banquet that brings together not only the other transgender groups and transgendered people, but also the gay lesbian groups. We want to be as open and unified, thus the name, with all within our community. And we consider ourselves always the part of the GLBT community. It's we do good work. We try to, we've just formed to have a scholarship fund that's in its infancy to help transgendered individuals get the opportunity for education. Because many of the transgenders, their families have abandoned them. They have no one else. Many end up, you know, on the street. But some, when they do have the opportunity for education, they're generally speaking quite brilliant. But they don't get the opportunities anymore because they're having to deal with their gender identity, whether it be male to female or female to male.
I do want to kind of interject, going back to the Day of Remembrance. It isn't, it's not only to, of course, come together and collectively recognize the loss of these individuals that their lives were specifically taken just because they didn't rise to somebody's gender normative assumptions, how they should and shouldn't be. It's also to kind of come together as a community and mourn the loss, the personal loss and the personal toll that this type of hate exacts upon each and every transgender life. You know, for myself, going through this process of transitioning and having to deal with, if at one time I was homeless, mm-hmm. and of course no Houston or Houston area shelter will take in a transgender person. You know, that I had to deal with people making fun of me, being fired specifically because I was transgendered. It's to kind of come together and take a moment, just one day of the year, to stand together as a community and mourn that. That in our culture, for me to live authentically and truthfully, that the toll that that exacts, the hate and ignorance that that exacts, can and does ruin lives. Sometimes they, you know, sometimes they aren't specifically murdered outright, but sometimes, you know, a person's life can be made so hard that we will do it for them.
It takes a psychological toll,
yes.
A very heavy one. Well, in wrapping up, give the particular again about the Transgender Day of Remembrance on November 20th.
Okay. First of all, if you go to transhouston.com/ourdead, it has all of the information there. And again, that's transhouston.com/ourdead. And on November 20th, from about 7 o'clock at the Houston Holocaust Museum, that's at 5401 Caroline Street. That will be the official remembrance ceremony, and there will be free museum tours, the ceremony itself, a wine and cheese reception, and a transgender panel discussion afterwards.
Thank you so much for being with us on Queer Voices. You have something else, Jennifer?
Just want to say that the Day of Remembrance is based around the transgender community, but it's also open to all of our friends within the community.
In fact, they're encouraged and invited.
Absolutely encouraged to come out and be with us and stand with us.
Yeah. I'll just share a quick little story here. When I was working on the March on Washington in 1993, the Holocaust Museum in D.C. was opening. The march was the 25th, I think it was like the 23rd 23rd or the 22nd of April that they had the opening of the Holocaust Museum. And a group of us were allowed a special tour of the museum with one of the lead researchers, Klaus Mueller, who is a homosexual man. And, you know, when you see those SS uniforms and when you see that pink triangle, which was what they put on the gender variant or the homosexual identified, or the black triangle, which was mostly what women that were asocial were identified with, it just sends chills through you. And you, this is the message. It could happen again, and it would be us. And we mustn't let it happen again. And that's why in that message of AIDS, they say silence equals death and triangle never again. So be part of never again. No more people dying. No more people living in shame and fear. The Transgender Day of Remembrance on November 20th at the Holocaust Museum in Houston. And that's more of Queer Voices. Please support us with your pledge.
And it is time now to call. We're going to go out to the lobby and see if we have anybody to thank and remind you that we are under a two-for-one. A two-for-one meaning that every dollar that you give to KPFT will be matched. And we would certainly like to take advantage of that, but it is only till 9 o'clock. So we're asking you to call us now. Smiley, do we have anybody to thank?
Smiley, are you there?
Well, we'll get back to them shortly. We're asking you to call us at 713-526-5738, 713-526-KPFT. Queer Voices is here every week to be able to talk to you about the issues of the community, the issues that affect not just the GLBT audience, but basically all the audiences that listen to KPFT.
That's true. And we do have a new member to welcome to the family, Clay, slapped down in there. And of course that pledge has been met dollar by dollar, but he came a new member and has joined Queer Voices and KPFT family. Thank you, Clay. We also have Ginger that slapped in a generous amount that is also met dollar by dollar, but Ginger wanted to make sure that message was for the fact of for people like me, bringing in a young voice and a new image to KPFT Pacifica and Queer Voices. She wanted all of us to know that she's family and that she supports me and everybody else 100% and threw down a generous pledge and became a new member of Queer Voices. So thank you, Ginger. Thank you, Clay. Be like them. Dial that number, 713-526-5738. We have excellent premium gifts that we can show our appreciation. Plus, you got to support programs like this. Where else are you going to learn information about the transgendered community? You're not going to learn this by watching the Discovery Channel or by any other cable network. There's nothing out there that gives a chance for a real person of this kind of lifestyle to sit there and express themselves, to let them give you a chance to see how human they are, that they do have feelings, that they do respect mankind, and that they are just a person just like you or me. This is a chance to sit here and see this perspective, and if you appreciate that, show us your appreciation by dialing that number, 713-526-5738.
And we're asking you to support us. And, you know, as we said, we're in it for the long run. KPFT has been here for 35 years. Pacifica has been on the air in Berkeley for 55 years, and it was community radio. Community radio means that they allow people like us to come in and to be able to help produce programs beyond the air. Even though we may not always sound professional, we do try to bring you different types of viewpoints. We don't agree with everything that's on KPFT, and we hope you don't agree with everything that's on KPFT, because we want people to have different types of ways to be able to view things, but that we all respect each other. We all work together, and we all work so that things, you know, I mean, this past election, yes, it was a terrible loss that we had, 75% to 25%. That is really bad, but, you know, it's going to change. It's going to change, and just like that report that came on This Way Out earlier about the story, that Time magazine, the cover story, younger people are not going to be putting up with this, but we have to keep educated. We have to keep going out and voting. We have to keep supporting our institutions, and KPFT is one of our institutions. We're going to listen to the final segment of This Way Out.
It's unique postmodern Hollywood noir, unsettling, unpredictable, and morally explosive. That's how This Way Out's Steve Pride describes the directorial debut of a familiar out screenwriter.
The Dying Gaul is a psychological thriller based on the Craig Lucas play of the same name. Part Sunset Boulevard, part Greek tragedy, it's a tale of lust, power, corruption, betrayal, and revenge. Robert, played by Peter Sarsgaard, is a screenwriter who's written a film based on his lover's death from AIDS. Studio executive Jeffrey, played by Campbell Scott, loves the script but has a theory.
Most Americans hate gay people. They hear it's about gay people, they won't go.
What about Philadelphia?
Philadelphia is a movie about a man who hates gay people.
So Jeffrey asked Robert to make one little change.
If we make Maurice a woman with AIDS, and let's face it, heterosexuals are getting AIDS.
I want disaster.
Nothing to do with that.
Robert?
But what will Robert do when Jeffrey offers $1 million for a revised script?
You have virtually no idea what $1 million would mean to me in my life. I'm still paying off my college loans. I've written 15 spec scripts, which no one will buy. I'm paying child support. And Malcolm, who just died, my agent, was also my lover. So I can't in good conscience take this money from you.
Eventually, Robert does take the deal. He also becomes close friends with Jeffrey's wife, Elaine. And in a surprising turn, he begins an affair with Jeffrey that has tragic consequences. While this is the directorial debut for out gay playwright and screenwriter Craig Lucas, he's not new to Hollywood, having written Longtime Companion, Prelude to a Kiss, and The Secret Lives of Dentist. But in all his dealings with the movie biz, Lucas never had to make the Faustian bargain he presents in The Dying Gaul.
I have to say that most of the movie is invented. I know the world a little bit. I worked out here a little bit. Not very much. Nobody ever asked me to de-gay a script. And certainly no ostensibly straight producer ever came on to me. Most of the producers that approached me about projects out here were already gay and they were out. So, you know, you make up a story, but for a story to work, there have to be problems. Some of the things that Malcolm endures are things that I've seen happen to people with AIDS, but he's not based on an agent that I knew. You take what you know and then you transform it in some way, hopefully. You imagine new elements and desires and you add them to the mix and then hopefully it takes on a life of its own.
The journey the audience takes hinges on performances of the three leads. Campbell Scott starred in two earlier Craig Lucas films, Longtime Companion and The Secret Lives of Dentists.
We just get along. We see each other's sensibilities and ourselves, I guess. Campbell likes a certain amount of complexity in the role, and he likes to be surprised. We had a great time on Longtime Companion. We were both just starting out in movies then, 15 years ago, and he makes me laugh more than anybody on earth, and I love his acting. He does always half of what you think needs to be done to get it across. As a result, there's an artfulness to it that if you really know acting, if you really worked with actors and you understand what's required, is high wire stuff. He's an actor's actor. You will find here in Hollywood and in New York that when you say his name, people basically genuflect.
Campbell Scott's real life girlfriend, actress Patricia Clarkson, astonishes as Jeffrey's wife, but she doesn't believe it's Jeffrey's bisexuality that propels Elaine to visit revenge upon Peter.
I think they have had dalliances, both of them, and been accepting of it. But I think what makes this different is it's not the affair itself. It's her feelings being deceived by two, not one. It is the double deception because she is smitten with Robert. Robert is a kindred spirit. I mean, I think she kind of falls in love with Robert. Maybe not so much in a sexual way. I think she finds him just an absolutely beautiful man, inside and out. He's kind of a window into her past again, and I think he sparks her, and it gets her so excited and so interested, and it all comes crashing down around her, you know? It's just this chain of grief from, you know, rage and heartbreak to vengeance. And I don't know that it's that small, you know, that it's that big a leap. I think they're very small steps.
And what does Craig Lucas want the audience to take away from the dying Gaul?
That's a hard question because I don't come at storytelling in that way. I don't think about that. I want to tell a good story. I want it to be a rip-roaring good story. I want to turn them upside down and shake them. Anything that isn't attached should fall to the floor. I want to juggle their brains and their and send them home astonished and surprised and happy to be alive. That's what I think really wonderful theater and movies and novels do. They make us very grateful for what we have. And if they're profoundly great, they also lead us to an inevitable choice of how we need to behave in our lives.
In the film, Robert's screenplay is also called The Dying Gaul. And in case you're wondering,
the title is a reference to a sculpture that's in the Capitoline Museum in Rome. It was made by a Roman sculptor of the vanquished Gallic enemy soldier who was killed in battle. He's got a little hole in his side, but he's in all other regards healthy. And it's kind of a startling thing to see, because when you first walk into the room, unless you know what you're going to see, it seems to just be a very beautiful young man. And then to realize that he's staring at the ground because he knows he's going to be dead in a few minutes, it kind of takes your breath away.
I couldn't leave Patricia Clarkson's hotel room without asking her why she thought her best roles, those in High Art, Far From Heaven, and now The Dying Gaul, came to her from gay writer-directors.
I don't know. So, great question. Provocative. I'm not sure. I think there can be a gay perspective, because I do think a person's sexuality is important. I think it is important. And, you know, these people like, I don't care what people do in the bedroom, it's for fun. No, what you do in the bedroom, you know, your sexuality is integral. It's very important. It defines you. It's who you are. It's hopefully what you're proud of and what you can be open about. So I think our sexuality is present in us at all times, in everything we do, in our daily life. And so, yeah, there might be a gay sensibility. But I would think of it more as a gay perspective, because I think our sexuality plays a large part in how we view situations and how we view the world.
This has been a conversation with actress Patricia Clarkson and writer-director Craig Lucas. The Dying Gaul is from Strand Releasing. For more info on this and other queer films, visit prideonscreen.com. This is Steve Pride. Thanks for listening.
This Way Out is heard every week as part of Queer Voices. You are listening to 90.1 FM KPFT.
And Queer Voices is heard every week as part of KPFT's Reach Out to the Community. And KPFT does a lot of public affairs programming. KPFT is a very unique radio station, and if you've been listening more than a little while, you know that it changes. And there are different programs that come and different programs that go, but KPFT has had a voice for the GLBT community since 1975. That's probably the longest running of any radio station in this country that has a particular type of GLBT programming. And in fact, KPFT has two programs, not only Queer Voices, but also After Hours. And we still have 15 minutes that you can call in, and every dollar that you donate will be matched. And we certainly appreciate that, but we need to do that. And I think we're getting close to our goal, but we're not quite there now. Let's check in the lobby and see exactly where we are.
Well, how old were you back in 1975 there, Jack?
I wasn't even in Houston at that time.
We are almost at our goal here with the pledge members here. If we could get one of Glenn or Jack's or one of my friends to come in with $100, we've made our match. And of course, that is going to be met dollar by dollar by Dr. K, and that would bump our total of about $1,800, which is completely awesome for Queer Voices, which is great for Pacifica here in Houston. And of course, if you're even just doubtful about not taking the initiative and calling that number and becoming a member. You have an example of right here, the program of Queer Voices, of what you get, plus other programs. World Village Cafe is coming up next, so we have awesome programming here at KPFT, something for everybody. It's just not singly just for one particular gender. It is for a whole wide of diverse groups, and like Jack was saying earlier, we all get along. This is all a peace, loving friendship environment. We would love for you to become a member of it, become a volunteer up here at the station, or better yet, just take the initiative and dial that number, 713-526-5738. I think Glenn is about to jump in with something here.
Yeah, I was going to say, like I usually say during pledge drives, that we have volunteers who work here at the station, and we also have volunteers who do their part by listening at home and by contributing to the station. And it takes both types of volunteers to pull this off.
True. That's it. And if you, myself, I'm a reporter here. If we have programs that you can actually come up here and, I don't know, intern for Queer Voices. I'm sure Jack would love to have someone sit there and go for this or go for that. It would be great.
We do our own here. Yeah. We get our own coffee.
No. I like that idea. I want an entourage.
Exactly. Why not have some volunteers come up in here and hang out with Glenn and JD and Jack and see how Houston's only, one of Houston's queer programming, of course, After Hours, would have one of Houston's prime after-hour queer programs can actually sit there and run. You might be able to sit there and play live on the air for Jack. Jack, would you ever had anybody come in and perform live for you?
Oh, yeah, we've had live.
Just a couple of weeks ago, we had Transition. Lily Roddy and Phyllis Fry perform live in the studio. When we have the opportunity to have queer artists, we like to interview them, talk to them. Joan Devlin, our correspondent in Iowa, interviews authors and other people that she finds out about and shares that through technical miracles that she and Glenn and Jack work out I don't even want to know about. And, you know, Smiley, you said something about learning something about our lifestyles. Well, lifestyle is like if you drive a BMW or what area of town you live in or how you dress. But this is about our lives. Being gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender is a life, and we're not just queer in the bedroom. It's a culture, it's a community, and many of us are at different places in that community, but being on Queer Voices and having KPFT is a way for all of us to come together to talk about the things that are different, the things that are the same, how we're special and how maybe sometimes we're not so special. But it takes all of us doing our part that makes this show happen, that makes all the programming on KPFT happen. And you also hear about the issues that affect the GLBT community on other programs, such as the news piece that Smiley did. So it's not just like we're ghettoized into specific programming, but we have the privilege of having the additional time in order to talk about these issues and to educate people. And I know that there's an awful lot of straight people. I know there's an awful lot of very prominent people in this community that tune into this program because they tell me, that piece was so great, that guest that Joan interviewed or that person that Jack talked with, I didn't know about that event. I'm so glad that we have this in Houston. So if you're glad that you have Queer Voices in Houston, it's time for you to do your part and make your pledge. 713-526-5738.
We have 10 minutes to the top of the hour, so it's 10 minutes.
And we did have someone just walk in, another generous pledge. Thank you, Ronald. We appreciate that. But you have now met your goal. You're at $940, which, of course, because of a straight doctor like Joan and Jennifer and everybody else has been talking about, Dr. K, that is met dollar for dollar. And so,
yeah, but Smiley, you know, we didn't meet our goal last week.
There it is. We're going to work for that. We're going to work for that right now.
Yeah, that's why we got to make up for it this week.
We still have 9 minutes left.
Nine minutes, and we have six phone lines. We have six volunteers and six phone lines open. We can sit there and change that if we can get everybody. You don't have to sit there and do a whopping $100 or $50. You can do $2 a month. That is what a small latte at Starbucks. $2 a month.
Not even.
Yeah, not even $2. $2 a month, and you become a member. You actually have a part at KPFT here. $2 a month at the 35. If we could just get maybe 10 of our friends to come become members here, this is not something. If you like to sit there and not broadcast the fact of your sexuality, you don't have to. We're not here for that. We're not going to sit there and put you in bright lights. We just offer you an opportunity to be part of something. To
unless
learn something.
You want us to.
And then we have no problem with that. I'm sure
and
Jack.
We'll put you on the air.
Yeah, we have Pride's coming up next year. We're going to need volunteers for that. That is a fun, awesome event. I had a blast. I had a blast this year's Pride. And there's numerous of other ways that you can help. Like Ron Hill is asking for volunteers on the assisted living program. You can actually, where did you learn about that? Here on KPFT Queer Voices. We do have a volunteer that's taken some information on a pledge, so we appreciate that. We have five lines open. We have about 8 minutes left in the Queer Voices.
Actually, less than that, because we have bumpers and stuff we have to do.
So it's time for people to call, and just think, you could be the one that makes all the difference. The phone will ring, and you'll hear it ring,
dial
and you
number,
will know.
713-526-5738.
713-526-KPFT. Support Queer Voices. Support your community by being part of KPFT. Jennifer, what does KPFT mean to you?
I was going to say that this is I really have appreciated the opportunity to be here. To get a chance to, you know, we always make a joke in the community, you know, it may be GLBT, but the T's always silent. It's an opportunity for the T to no longer be silent.
I think sometimes the B is often silent, too.
Well, that, too. But,
that
but there's not a B here, I don't know.
Well,
certainly
sure
the L
is.
Isn't silent.
Here they
that's
come.
Right.
See?
Don't you forget it.
We now have three volunteers on the phones here.
I could be bisexual.
We have three more lines.
Yes.
We need to thank Mr. Anonymous for throwing $100 at us. Thank you, Mr. Anonymous.
We're going to come close to actually making up our deficit from last week.
I love the Anonymous family. Mm-hmm. They are
yes.
so generous.
Isn't it a large family?
They're habitual donors.
They are. And we appreciate every single one of them. And those of you that are glad and proud to say your names, have them thanked over the air.
Even if they don't want their names, we're still proud of them.
That's right. Because we know that, and you're proud of yourself because you did your part. You made that phone call. You made the pledge. You can also go online on the website, kpft.org.
That's
you
true.
Can even listen online, or you can check archive versions of the program, our recent programming, which, you know, technology is just amazing. It just really is. And maybe, you know, you're somewhere where you're in a different city. You're somewhere else in the world.
Well, we would certainly like to thank our guests this evening.
Thank you.
We had Ron Hill from the Care for Elders program.
Kristen Williams with the Transgender Day of Remembrance. That's going to be on November 20th at the Holocaust Museum starting at 7.
Emily and Tammy from the Houston Equal Rights Alliance talking about what happened with this past election and what we have to look forward to.
And we'll be back next week, and we'll have a brand new show. We'll be out of fundraising, so we'll be able to do the full show, but you still have your chance to call us at 713-526-5738, 713-526-KPFT.
You have been listening to Queer Voices, heard each Monday at 7 p.m. here on KPFT, a publicly funded Pacifica Network station. Queer Voices is produced live in Houston with recorded segments from This Way Out, which is produced at KPFK in Los Angeles. Queer Voices executive producer is Jack Valensky. On-air voices are Glenn Holt, J.D. Doyle, Deborah Bell, and Jack Valensky, with remote correspondents Joan Devlin in Iowa and David Elliott in Washington, D.C. For more information about guests, events, and organizations mentioned in the show, visit queervoices.org. Some of the music you heard is listed or available on J.D. Doyle's website, queermusicheritage.org. Be sure to listen every Saturday morning at 1 a.m. for After Hours with Jimmy Carper. It's Queer Radio with Attitude.
This is listener-sponsored and commercial-free Pacifica Radio, KPFT, at 90.1 FM, 89.5 FM Galveston, and worldwide via streaming audio from kpft.org. For Queer Voices, I'm Glenn Holt.
My name is Nefertari Fluellen. I feel that community radio is important because it gets reliable information out to the public about their communities. People like to know what's going on around them, and community radio is a good source to get information out. Community radio is also very important because it introduces people to different types of music, cultures, and etc. Community radio is also useful for those who like to be up to date with current events. Community radio is important because it is a source of entertainment, and people need to be satisfied and entertained and kept happy. And community radio does just that. Community radio also allows different topics to be discussed on air. Community radio discusses political issues, world events, and what's going on in our government. Overall, community radio gets what we need to know out to the public. So therefore, I feel that community radio is very important.
My name is Ryan Taylor. As radio has increased in popularity as a medium of communication, delivering information and entertainment, there has also emerged a responsibility for the radio broadcast industry to bring the community together. Community radio is necessary to promote community unity and provide the people with what they need to know and want to hear. It gives people a chance to speak their minds and be heard in a local setting, which could, for volunteers, launch them into a more broad radio career encompassing national and possibly international issues and ideas. People in a community have a common desire to feel like they are part of something with the potential for major impact that could reach beyond that community. Community radio is exactly what can provide these people with a venue to make that impact. Radio is expanding, leading, learning, and growing. The airwaves aren't just for music anymore.
Those are two student voices, winners of a contest, actually, to write essays about what radio means to them. And if this kind of radio is important to you, and it must be since you're listening, please support this effort by calling 713-526-5738. 713-526-5738 right now. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Shona Clark. Community radio is important because it informs local people on current...
The free program you just heard was paid for by the listener members of KPFT Houston. If you're not already a KPFT member, we encourage you to join with us in keeping free speech alive by becoming one. Basic membership is still $35 a year. You don't have to, but you'll feel better. Thanks for listening.